You are listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for March 1989. April Fool, or should I say April Anniversary Fool? Yes, it is. It's not only the April Fool's edition of the DX Audio Service, but it's also our anniversary. I bet you didn't know this little piece of trivia. The DX Audio Service was founded in April of 1985.
I enjoyed that trivia quiz.
'Tis true, the DX Audio Service was founded in 1985, April. And since then, we've slid consistently downhill. No, seriously, you'd think with all the years we've been doing this, we'd get our act together and know better. But on this edition of the DX Audio Service, we're going to take a look at the world of reality, the regular edition of DX Audio Service, and the world of obscure, some interesting tidbits, and basically a lot of tapes that have been laying around here for 9 months that we haven't had any use for. So we'll have that on the DX Audio Service. And as a special feature of this edition of the DX Audio Service, how would you like to count like John Bowker? Well, it's very easy. We just happened to find at a record collecting meet a record here that says, Language Lessons, Learn How to Count Like John Bowker. So let's get into that right away here on the DX Audio Service. Okay, now, let me get the record out here, and we'll put it on the turntable.
You're supposed to say 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, that was a terrific edition last month.
Yes, I know, but enough of this record. And let's get into some serious stuff here on the DX Audio Service. Here's Mr. John Bowker.
Well, Fred, last month on our trivia quiz, we asked our subscribers to name the cities in the United States beginning with the letter W that had radio stations, obviously that began with the letter W, that spelled out the entire name of the city. Okay? The two were Waco and Ware. Waco, Texas, and Ware, Massachusetts. Now, this month, we'd like our subscribers to think through the names of American U.S. cities beginning with the letter K that have radio stations in that city, beginning, obviously, with the letter K, that totally and completely spell the name of the city. We'll give you a hint, and that's there are four of them. We'll be back with the answer in just a few minutes.
I wonder where he could be.
Hi, Jack. Hey, where are you going?
Well, I need to go to my ball for a little mad money.
Well, you don't need a lot of money for the NRC Publication Center. They got a lot of good deals.
Come on, and watch your step.
You know, right now you can get the NRC coffee cup, the logbook.
Oh, watch out for the alligator.
The what?
Hey, get him down! Get down!
Give me a hand lowering this drawbridge.
You know, they got all these fantastic things at the NRC Pub Center.
It's not much further now.
Halt! Give the password.
A fool and his money.
Oh, it's you, Mr. B.
Say, could you lend me $5 to go shopping?
We're going to the NRC Pub Center.
Sure. Here.
But this is Confederate currency.
It's what you pay me.
Now, cut that out.
Well, the stations, sort of in order, are KLEO in Cleo, Kansas.
Okay.
That's just outside of Wichita, as you probably know. KIEN in Keene, I believe that's the way you pronounce it, Oregon. And KRGL in Cargill, Montana. Those are the stations, Fred.
But, John, you said there were four cities.
I was lying about that.
Oh, it's a joke. Ladies and gentlemen, the wit and humor of John Bowker. Give him a hand, folks. Okay, very good, John. Now let's get into some serious stuff here on the DX Audio Service.
Elsewhere Engine for the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, the special April Fool's edition. One of the funniest things that I've ever read was written by Larry Brookwell of the DXers Club of San Diego. Larry was the DXers Club of San Diego until his untimely death at the age of 80 in 1983. And here's his advantages of using a microwave oven instead of wood smoke in shrinking heads. The process remains the same where the skull is broken so the pieces can be removed through the neck opening. The eyes, nose, and mouth must be sewn closed. The inside of the skin must be well scraped of fat and membranes. The skin is then packed with damp sand and the features formed with your fingers. Placed in the microwave oven, the shrinking process can be watched through the window and the door. The head must be removed from the oven frequently to reshape the features, as the sand is forced out with the shrinkage. The big advantage of the microwave oven is that the process is speeded up, and the skin is not blackened with smoke, and the hair retains its natural color. Also, the skin remains supple and is easily molded. However, there is one problem. If you are shrinking your mother-in-law's head and she has that blue hair so popular with the elderly, the microwaves will turn the silver blue to a brilliant bluebird color, which is unnatural. Don't attempt to mold a smile, as the lack of teeth will produce only a grimace, a natural expression of mother-in-law's. You're warned not to allow Junior to watch the process through the oven window, because as the shrinking takes place, the expression changes and will sometimes scare the bejesus out of the lad or less. I would like to call your attention to the fact that in no other hobby bulletins will you find informative articles like this.
October 19, 1988, last day of KFH broadcasting on the air under the Castlebaum ownership.
Well, now, the local number again is 733-5081, outside Wichita, 1-800-825-2663.
If you've been listening to KFH for the country music, after today, you won't be able to hear it at this place on your dial any longer. I'm Old Mike from KFDI. We always play country music, and we'd love to have you tune us in at 1070 AM or 101.3 FM for your favorite country music. We also do the best job, we think, in town on local news and weather. We have Paul Harvey and lots of agri-service updates. We'd like to have you tuned in, too. Come on and join us. We're at 1070 AM and 101.3 FM. We'll be looking for you.
Hi, this is Cecil Carrier. For 27 years, I broadcast the weather here on KFH. Now KFH is getting out of the country music business, and my daughter Kathy and I have moved our local weather broadcast over to Wichita's new country music leader, Kissin 102. If you haven't already been a Kissin listener, please join us at 102.1 FM, the station that plays more continuous country favorites than any other, and now has Cecil Carrier weather.
In 1984.
Some big changes coming up later tonight for this radio station. I'll tell you about it after this report from Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite's 20th Century.
And that's the way it was on this date, October 19th. I'm Walter Cronkite.
Now some personal comments, please. If all goes according to plans, at midnight tonight, a switch somewhere will be thrown and KFH will be no more. Not as you and I have known it anyway. As you may or may not know, KFH has been sold. The buyers already own an FM station in Wichita, and when that switch is thrown at midnight tonight, what you'll be hearing on this frequency will be exactly what's being broadcast on their FM station here. Simulcasting, it's called. Apparently, it'll continue 24 hours a day for quite some time, maybe for the rest of the year, maybe into next year as well. What happens when the simulcasting ends? Well, apparently we'll just have to wait and see or hear. At any rate, this is my final newscast on KFH, bringing to an end my 35-year career with this radio station, all of it in news. Something of a record, I'm told. 3.5 decades with a single radio station. Meaningless today, perhaps, when 2 or 3 years with a single station is the norm. Should I have chosen a different career? Well, maybe. In light of more recent events, the answer, no doubt, would be a definite yes. But doing what one wants to do, what one enjoys doing it to the best of one's ability, well, as a career, it has its merits. So what now for George Doyle? Well, I tell you truthfully, at this moment, I really don't know. Is it time to retire? I don't think so. I'm considering several options, but that's not one of them. There have been good times, and there have been bad times, and there have been times somewhere in between. Hundreds of people have passed through these doors during my tenure here, and I'm not talking about visitors, I'm talking about employees. There's no need for me to invoke now familiar names from out of the past. Most of you still listening to KFH no doubt can recall their names as easily as I. Some are no longer with us. Some are no longer in broadcasting. A handful are still in the business in far-flung parts of the country. And so we come to the end of an era. The glory days of KFH are at an end. Indeed, don't be surprised if after the simulcasting period, you no longer hear those three letters as the station's identification. There's some speculation even the call letters might be changed. So to all of you who've listened to my newscasts all these years, for your many kind and gracious remarks, for your loyalty, a term, by the way, that's rapidly losing its meaning in this business, my undying thanks. To my loving wife, V, who has put up with the career that I selected, thanks, darling, for your patience and understanding and encouragement. And to the people behind the scenes, thanks, too, for your considerable help. Now, if the last one to leave will please turn out the lights, this is George Doyle, KFH News, saying so long for now, but not goodbye.
And about 5.5 hours later at midnight, here's what KFH listeners heard.
In this magazine. Subscribe now. That's 800-341-2222.
Right now, we're on TalkNet. And in the morning, we'll have all the news and weather you'll need to start your day on KFH Wichita.
Now, winning ticket is on AM 1330, KFH Wichita.
And without wanting to mention the AM call letters and frequency on the FM broadcast side, during the simulcast period, how does a station get the ID on the AM side accomplished? Larry Wagoner, a broadcast consulting engineer for the station, explains.
When it's time for the legal ID on the stations, the disc jockey on the air pushes a single push button that performs three functions. Number one, it starts a cartridge tape machine that gives the legal ID on the FM station, KXLK. Same push button also operates an audio changeover relay. This relay switches audio from the programming over to another cart machine that has an AM-only ID in it. And, of course, the same push button starts this AM-ID machine. And then once the AM-ID is played, there's a control tone at the end of the announcement that switches the relay back to the simulcast situation.
Wagoner says if it's done right, it doesn't sound too bad on the AM, but a moment too early in starting the ID cart over the end of a song, or starting that song right out of the ID, can make it sound pretty rough. We'll show you what the ID sounds like on the FM side, follow the same ID on the AM. And we'll also let you hear how, if it's done poorly, how rotten it can sound.
Is on AM 1330 KFH Wichita.
Two, three,
now, winning ticket is on AM 1330 KFH Wichita.
Never close your eyes anymore.
Ticket is on AM 1330 KFH, Wichita.
Hello to all on the DX Audio Service. Time for another exciting journey to the Formats Column, direct from the pages of DX News. I'm your host, Ed Mitkus, and before we get started, I'd like to point out that several of this month's format changes are with your AM station simulcasting their FM counterparts. Seems like this is one of the few ways that AM stations have figured out, at least for the time being, to stay afloat. Well, on 590 KSRO, San Bernardino, California, they're now News Talk, XKFXM. AM 64 WHOF Wildwood, Florida is a new station to be religious. 65 KORL Honolulu, Hawaii is back on the air with Adult Contemporary, simulcasting with their FM. 79 WWAZ Providence, Rhode Island is now Classical Fine Arts 24 hours a day. And they are not simulcasting with their FM, strictly by themselves. We wish the station good luck. 79 WMC, Memphis, Tennessee is now News Talk as of January 1st, 1989. CKGM, Montreal, 980 is now Oldies. 1050 KNXX, New Mexico, Los Ranchos de Albuquerque is now Silent. 1120 WWOV, Destin, Florida is a news station with Oldies. 1150 KEZQ, North Little Rock, Arkansas is now All Travelers Information. 1220 WXCT, Hamden, Connecticut is now Classic WXCT with Rock Music, XWNNR. At 1240 on the dial, WVSR, Charleston, West Virginia is now Contemporary Hit Radio, simulcasting with their FM. At 1250 KRYT, Pueblo, Colorado is now Transtar Oldies, simulcasting with their FM. 1310 KBMV, Birchtree, Missouri is Satellite Country and Western Music. 1370 WKFD, Rickford, Rhode Island was Silent, the now Adult Contemporary, Bay Radio 1370 is their slogan. 1380 KLUE, Muskegee, Oklahoma is now Oldies, simulcasting with KKWK. 1430 KSKS, Tulsa, Oklahoma is Oldies, simulcasting with KVLT. 1470 Toledo, Ohio's WOHO is now Country 1470. 1510 KJAA, Mesa, Arizona becomes KFNN, and they associate with the BRN Business News Network. Also on 1510, WMHQ, Dover, New Jersey is Silent. 1530 WTTI Dalton, Georgia is now Religious. 1550 WLVX Bloomfield, Connecticut is Christian 1550 with Contemporary Christian Music. 1560 WSDL Slidell, Louisiana is BRN Business News for New Orleans. KZVR 1570 Lodi, California is now English Religion in the morning, Spanish and English CHR in the PM with Spanish announcers. 1570 WKYR Burksville, Kentucky is now Oldies. 1580 KTSS Davenport, Iowa is now Rock, simulcasting KFMA. And 1590 KHIT Sun Valley, Nevada is now Country and Western Music, simulcasting with KIIQ 104.5 in Reno, Nevada. And that's it for this edition of Formats, direct from the pages of DX News. If you have anything you'd like to contribute to this column, feel free to write to Ed Mitkus, that's M-I-T-K-U-S, Route 2, Box A, as in Apple, 108, Zionville, that's Z-I-O-N-V-I-L-L-E, North Carolina. The zip here is 28698-9621. Well, good DX and good listening, and we'll talk to you next month.
The home of good baking, Super Sound UBS. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
This is a DX Audio Service technical report. Hello again, everyone. This is John Bowker with another in the series of DX Audio Service Technical Reports. And today we'll be reporting on the Frequency Band Enhancer. Well, it was just last year at this time that I was able to speak to you over these DX Audio Service microphones, explaining how the Sirius DXer is able to separate radio signals as they leave the Earth. If you recall, we were therefore able to catch signals with precision and at times that could be calculated with great precision. It was just 2 years ago that I told of another of our procedures involving the mailing of a cassette radio recorder with a timer to an address in some city where I needed a new station identification recorded on tape. I gave examples of both. Well, today we will give you yet another DX Audio Service technical report. Let me tell you about our latest scheme, one that is particularly useful for making high-fidelity recordings during the day of AM broadcast stations. It sometimes can be used that way at night, and it's ideally suited for use in international broadcast band recordings in the medium wave that operate on split frequencies. First, we'll analyze the problem, and then you'll see how simple the setup really is. The whole idea makes use of a relatively new device on the market that is really sold for use in the home for television watching. I know, the serendipity is prodigious. The device is called a block converter and was designed so the homeowner could move all the cable TV channels down to channels on his TV set where he could use his own remote control rather than paying extra to the cable company for a converter with a remote control built in. Radio Shack sells block converters for $29.95. Although it's fine for television use, it does add some distortion to the AM band receivers, and it really doesn't make a good investment for this use on the AM band. Still, you can look it up in a Radio Shack catalog. You'll find it listed as model 15-1281. As I say, selling for $29.95. Perhaps if you look it over, you may be able to figure out something. Actually, the best way would be to have a friend build a really good block converter specifically designed for AM band use for you. But now, let's see how it works. Well, in simplest terms, the block converter works like a magnifying glass. It takes the entire broadcast band of frequencies from 540 to 1600 and converts them by multiplying about 10 times. Now, this means that the broadcast bands appear on shortwave communications receivers. You see, not from 0.54 megahertz to 1.6 megahertz, but by multiplying by 10 times, they come out at 5.4 megahertz up to 16 megahertz. Obviously, each AM station now broadcasting on the medium wave band is given 100 kilohertz of space on the short wave band on your receiver instead of just 10 kilohertz that it really occupies where it's on the air. And that means that this gives several terrific advantages. First, except in the presence of a real nearby lightning storm, you find yourself tuning the short wave bands where, as any seasoned DXer knows, the static is much less. Second, the wider bandwidth of the AM stations rivals the bandwidth of FM broadcast stations, and the fidelity of the AM stations is just enormously improved. So much so that I doubt that any communications receivers on the market these days are able to take full advantage of the super high fidelity sound. And now, the third advantage is the best if you happen to be listening to international stations on the medium wave dial, and it relies on the fact that your short wave radio only tunes a portion of that wideband, high-fidelity signal. Let's take as an example if there were a foreign station just 1 kilohertz away from the stronger American station where you live. The station through the block converter will now be 10 kilohertz away from that local interference. Now, in my case, I have a five-position switch on a block converter that gives me 10 times, 20 times, 30, 40, and 50 times multiplication, so I can get even more separation on the foreign stations. Now, is this a perfect system? Oh, my, no. No. The block converters on the market, as I described, are not really all that satisfactory from a noise figure standpoint, although they do a creditable job, and certainly they're all fine for television reception, and that's what they were designed for, of course. So I have found that it's really necessary, in order to make this work, to replace the head-end transistor and tuning circuits in the block converter with hand-picked components. This requires careful test equipment, so you pick just the right junk box pieces. But once done, well, let me give you a demonstration of how the block converter frequency enhancer works at this Princeton Junction, New Jersey address. We will tune in a station at 680 on the AM dial. Through the block converter, this comes out at 6.8 megahertz. Now, I'm listening actually in my earphone as we speak here, and I'm hearing a strong component from the new WMAQ. Now, that's on an adjacent frequency at 670 on the dial. And at 690, I hear nothing from Montreal. So all we're getting is interference tonight from the Chicago coming in from the west. We have an 18-foot loop here, and I'll tell you a little more about that in a minute. But first, let's listen to the 680 frequency here in Princeton Junction, New Jersey, and what you'll hear is first is without the use of the block converter, you're going to hear some interference from WMAQ in Chicago, and then what I'll do is switch in the block converter after a few seconds, and I think you'll notice that the interference is reduced or completely disappears, as it should, and that the station at 680 is left completely in the clear and in rather good fidelity. Let's listen now to a demonstration.
Dave Newhouse in Sports Phone 68, Ralph Barbieri Sports Commentary, and Giants Baseball. If it happens in sports, it's happening on the Giants 68 KNBR San Francisco.
Well, that turned out to be as good an example and demonstration as I could possibly have asked for. The station requesting that you give them 22 minutes and they'd give you the world was WMAQ in Chicago at 670. And, of course, the target station was KNBR at 680 on the dial in San Francisco. Now, we use an 18-foot loop at this location because it represents the best match between our radio's 50-ohm antenna input and the free space impedance of 377 ohms. Not only that, but using a Lazy Susan, a double Lazy Susan technique on a helix, we're able to tilt the antenna loop back so that we pick up the optimum bounce angle off the ionospheric layers, which are as high as 60 to 100 miles above the Earth's surface, thereby optimizing and reducing the flutter fading of medium wave broadcast stations at this location. We hope you've enjoyed this demonstration and story this evening. It's been another DX Audio Service technical report. This time, the frequency enhancer, the use of a block converter. Your announcer has been John Bowker. We'll talk to you shortly on another DX Audio Service technical report.
You can feel the special difference every time fly Princeton Junction Airlines. Our courteous staff will take care of you with people like pilot Jim St. George.
I fly the plane. I'll get you to wherever you want to go. All I have to do is get me a little picker-upper.
Baggage handlers like Tim Mulhaney will take care of your precious items like your radios and recorders.
I'm real careful. Service is not the word with us. It's being careful.
And flight attendants like Biff Bosco.
I had this passenger one time who lost his ticket, and he was so nervous. I says, calm down, mister, and just get the hell off the plane.
You can fly with the Eagles or soar with the Bronze Turkey. Princeton Junction Airlines. Come fly with us today. There is a special difference.
Special packages now available for the 1989 National Radio Club Convention. Nonstop flights out of LaGuardia to Dallas-Fort Worth and then to Topeka, coming back at some point in time for only $29.95. That's $2,995 via Princeton Junction Airlines. Remember their motto, there's no charge for air sickness.
And speaking of air sickness, we'll get into Phil Wayne a little bit later. Now let's get into some musings from members here on the DX Audio Service.
Well, hello, Audio Service members. Marty Rimpaugh here from Oakland, California. As far as I'm concerned, two disturbing format changes indicative of the lack of faith in AM. First, in San Jose, California, today being March 1st, we have a new call and a new format. The old call, KHTT, AM 1500, which was oldies, has now dropped that and become KSJX. Business Radio 1500, and they run the Business Radio Network. And at 1400 here in Berkeley, KBLX has now joined Money Radio, part of the flagship, KMNY, Pomona, California, being the flagship station of that. And they are now Money Radio, AM 1400 KBLX. And so that's very disturbing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I hope that other radio stations prize catches in the DX field for me, like Q106 in San Diego, don't do the same thing with their AMs. To me, it's indicative of the lack of faith in AM. So anyway, it's March 1st, and happy DX, and I'll see you guys later.
This is Don Wilkerson of Redwood City, California, and we have had two radio format changes in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, within the last day or so, starting on March the 1st. KSJX now is Business Radio. It used to be KHTT out of San Jose on 1500, and we'll give you just a small preview of what they sound like now. They are now affiliated with Business Network. This is when they changed format.
Are the ins and outs of business? I'm Dan Smith, Business Radio Network. Listen to KSJX, Business Radio 1500. Late-breaking news and stocks and commodities reports right off the ticker. Beginning Wednesday, March 1st, on the South Bay's only Business Radio 1500. For ideas to manage your career, your money, and your life, keep listening to the South Bay's only business radio, KSJ, San Jose.
Via satellite, I'm Tamara Harvey, along with Dan Smith, and this is news on the Digit Radio Network.
And as I also said, KBLX Berkeley, California, is now a member of Money Radio's satellite network. They also joined on March 1st, and they started at 6 a.m. There you have it. Keep up the good work. We sure enjoy it. Bye now.
Hello, Fred. This is Paul Burkhart, WA1GXN, calling from Waltham, Massachusetts, with a few announcements here. WFHN, Whiskey Foxtrot Hotel, November, 107.1 FM. In Fairhaven, Massachusetts, near New Bedford, is now on the air. They were, I believe there was a station licensed application for 1270 in Fairhaven. That is not to be the case. As of last Wednesday, WFHN is on the air. 107.1, 3,000 watts, contemporary hit radio station from Fair. It's WFHN. They call it Fun 107. WSSH at 1510 in Boston is now Country. No, it's called 1510 Country. They just changed their formats to country western music a little while ago. 88.1 FM WMBR, Cambridge. As of last Thursday, they have upped their power from 200 watts to 360 watts. That's WMBR, 88.1 FM in Cambridge. That is all from here. Thank you.
Hi, this is Terry from Arlington Heights, a northwest suburb of Chicago. I'm one of your newer members of the DX Audio Service. And I'd like to comment on the practice, or the lack thereof, of the use of station IDs. I would think that stations would want to use an ID because it's good PR for the station, letting listeners know who you are and where you are located is a way to help your listeners to identify just exactly who you are and what you do. And since you are performing a service, it gives them an opportunity to partake of that service or respond to it if they know who you are. Besides, the station never knows who might be listening. It could be someone from out of town, or it could be a DXer from afar. It's also just simply good common courtesy to identify. But I wonder if perhaps one reason that more and more stations are avoiding IDs is to avoid getting caught, assuming that they are engaged in other sloppy practices. If they know that there are fewer FCC staff to track them down, perhaps not identifying oneself can be a means of not getting caught. As I say, I'm new to the audio service, but I'm enjoying it very much, particularly the comments and information given by John Bowker. Perhaps could you talk sometime about equipment such as antennas and receivers used by Sirius DXers, particularly on the AM broadcast band. I've been involved in DXing for a long time just as a fun thing to do, but really don't know very much about the Sirius side of DXing, and I figure if I don't know something about this, perhaps there are others out there who are in the same boat. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work. Have a good day.
Fred, John McCann here. It's Wednesday. Oh, no, it isn't either. It's Thursday now, past midnight, March 9th, and to comment on the query you left with us in the March DX audio service, I think that the FCC should rigidly enforce the identification requirements. Basically, it is a service to those trying to get an ID, which is basically DXers, but I think it's in the public interest that they continue to do that. But now for the real coup de grace, this is for you, John Bowker, with both barrels per your request. And source authority for this is Jerry Starr's AM switch number 193, as recorded in the January DX audio service newsletter. Wanted to know which was the station furthest west with a W call sign. Well, at 1450, issue 193 indicated that WDLX Delta Lima X-ray in St. George, Utah, had switched to WSLI Sierra Lima, India, whichever call sign it is now operating under. If in fact it is operating, I think it would qualify as the station furthest west with a W in its call, WS, the prefix of the call. And even if it's in the easternmost part of Utah, it's only about 800 miles inland from, no more than 900 inland from the Pacific Ocean. Very good, Fred. Keep up the good work.
Fred, this is Don Wilkerson of Redwood City, California. And on your previous DX audio service issue in March, you had a question about the radio station KNBA out of Vallejo, California, why they were leaving their transmitter on at night. They are normally a daytime station. Well, I called the station and they were just doing maintenance on the transmitter. It doesn't look like they'll ever, at least for quite a while, get nighttime privileges simply because of the station in L.A. on 1190. So the answer is they are not going nighttime. They are just fixing up their transmitter. Thank you.
Hi, Fred. This is Paul Burkhart from Waltham, Massachusetts. I would like to tell all of you DX Audio Service members that as of this Monday evening, W1510 WSSH in Boston has changed their call. They are now WKKU. That's WKKU 1510 Country. So you can put that all in your log that is now a new call letter change as of this past Monday. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Fred, this is Dana Yeomans in Griffin. My call is N4PGE, November 4, Papa Golf Echo. And you were talking about the net. that meets on Sunday nights. We would like to invite every DX Audio Service member or National Radio Club member, it's the same thing, to meet on 3840, that's 3.840. You have to have an advanced class amateur license to get on this frequency, of course, but we would like to have y'all meet on 3.840 Sunday nights, or any night through the week for that matter, except Tuesday, 3.840 at 0100 hours or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we'd like for everyone to join in. Me and Dick Truax and Jerry Starr is going to be upgrading soon to advanced class license, and would like for y'all to meet us on that frequency on Sunday nights as 3.840. And thank you very much.
Hi, this is Nick Ceramus. I'm calling from outside of New York City. I have a little request to put out to the listenership of the DX Audio Service, and that is, I'm curious to know if you are or know someone who is in the field of broadcasting in some form or another who is blind. I'd like to hear from you. I'm in a completely different field now, but I'm thinking about a career change, and broadcasting has been something that's always been a part of my life, and I'd like to know basically what blind people are doing out in the field, not just on air work, but in any facet of the electronic media. So if you're interested, my address is 509 Carroll Avenue, that's with two R's and two L's, Mamaroneck, which is spelled M-A-M-A-R-O-N-E-C-K, New York, 10543. And if you're interested in calling, if you're in the area, my number is 914-698-2191. I'm usually home after 7, I guess. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And some updated information concerning the NRC and DX Audio Service ham radio list. We've had several conversations with people on the phone and also had some information on the action line concerning the listings on the ham radio list. The only way that we can include you on the ham radio list, if you want to be on the list, is by getting the information from you in either letter or card form. Send it to us here at the DX Audio Service. Include your name, your call sign, your class of license, up to 25 characters of information concerning maybe bands that you operate, certain frequencies that you hang out on, or a certain schedule, and then your location. That's the only way we can put the information in the ham radio list, because otherwise we get a lot of errors and end up having to do a lot of corrections, and there's a lot of misunderstandings. So if you'd like to be included on the ham radio list, send us this information in written letter only, of course, to the DX Audio Service, 706 McKenzie Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. And when we get into our second portion of the DX Audio Service, we'll pose another question to our listeners here on the DX Audio Service. It seems overwhelmingly that DXers and a lot of people would like to keep the old ID practices alive. However, the government just keeps deregulating that stuff, don't they? So I have another question for you on part two of the DX Audio Service. And speaking of jingles and station IDs, we also have on part two of the DX Audio Service an interesting story concerning multiple station IDs. A new jingle company has met the need of stations who have to ID two different stations, or even three when they simulcast a couple different stations together. Jingle companies come out with a brand new package. It's very interesting and quite a novel approach to station IDs. We'll hear that and more on part two of the DX Audio Service. I'd also like to remind all our subscribers that subscribe via the returnable rate. Be sure your cassettes are back to us by the 15th of the month for the next edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.